In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, in a world that seems to be coming apart at the seams, when there's lots of topics to pick from, what are the ones that just simply drive you nuts? What are the ones that just kind of drive you bonkers? That why in the world are people thinking and acting the way they do? And then, well, what would you do about it? This past week, I was with some friends in Lincoln Square, and nice conversation going on and on. And then one of them simply says, "Well, what do you think about gun control?" Oh boy. Nothing like a nice hot topic to get you going. And so as the conversation went on and on, it got more and more crazy, right? More and more intense. Emotions run high. Right? What do you think about that? What are we going to do about that? And of course, it was pretty obvious from, well, all but one, what the solution was. But the real question, I mean, one of the questions would be, well, who's in favor of school shootings? Nobody. Right? Nobody. But somehow that becomes part of the mix. Well, you must just kind of support this or that. Well, I managed to survive that whole conversation. As I'm walking about 50 yards away, this man comes, makes a right turn, comes right over to me and says, "Hi, I'm from the News Gazette. I'd like to talk to you about what you think about gun control." Yeah. And we talked a little bit, and I glanced down and I said, "You're recording this, aren't you?" "Yeah." "Is that okay?" "No." "Okay." He turned it off. So we talked a little bit more. He said, "You don't want any of this in the paper?" "No, I do not want to be in the paper. Do not need to be in the paper." "But," I said, "those guys over there would love to talk to you." And so when we were done, off he went. And one of them made it in the paper. How about that? And as you look, it's pretty clear what opinion they wanted. And I don't want to get into the discussion. My question would be, if you had ultimate control over that issue, what would you do? If you could make the decision and everyone else would fall in line, what would you do? And then when you get done with that one, there's a long list more. What about the economy? What about income inequity? What about racism, sexism, xenophobiaism, or if that's a word, I don't know, the long list of isms and obias? What about abortion? Just go on down the line. What if you were able to do something about every one of them? And everyone would simply agree and fall into line. Wouldn't that be awesome? Well, if we had that kind of power, where would that place us? That would make us as God. At least of our community, maybe of our nation, maybe of the whole world, yeah. Well, how'd that work out? First commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. And our efforts to try to become that is really trying to usurp the authority of God. Jesus says, what does it profit a person if they could gain the whole world and lose their soul? We are busy trying to gain the whole world, at least our little corner of it, one way or the other. And as we have these kinds of conversations, it doesn't matter what it is, and it doesn't matter which position you take about it, our country is at a spot where they are ready to go to battle, tooth and nail, for whatever it is. I tried to explain, if one person says, "I sure wish it were sunny," the other person would say, "Why do you want that?" "Because I like sunshine." "You're crazy. We ought to have more clouds." We're ready to go tooth and nail about any topic. Why are we so intense about these things? because we have a sense in which we are kind of losing control. We have more and more of a sense that it's going places we don't want to go. And we're going to try to lock our heels, dig our heels in to stop it if all possible. And maybe link up with other people that agree with us. If only we could figure out who they were and how they agreed with us, and if they would stay agreeing with us. What does it profit if we gain the whole world and lose our soul? This passage from the gospel comes right after Peter's confession. Jesus and his disciples, Caesarea Philippi, who do people say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And Peter, right there with the right answer, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Yeah, good answer. In fact, Jesus says, you know, this wasn't given to you by yourself, it is a gift of God. So Peter's thinking, life's pretty good. And then Jesus says, now what does it mean to be, right, the Christ, the Son of the living God? We're getting ready to head down to Jerusalem, guys. Good, we can knock heads around there. And when we're there, I will be arrested, tried, beaten, killed. Third day rise. They didn't hear that by the time they got trying to take all these other ones in. Wow, Peter says, no, that's not what this is about. Let me tell you what this is about, Jesus. This is about you going down there and knocking heads. This can't happen that you would be killed. Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. What does it profit if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? We get so busy with so many things that take so much attention that we lose track of what's good for our soul. What nourishes our faith? What causes us to grow? Whether we're always seeking to have more and more income, right? More and more toys, the one who dies with the most toys wins. No, they still die. What does it profit? This week we lost one of the icons in the church. Right? Billy Graham, for many years, right, always had the same message. Right? The same message. Sirius Radio has devoted a channel to him. I'm not sure how long it's going to last, but playing things about him and playing some of his revival sermons. And as I was listening the other night, he says, I don't know what year this was, didn't say. He says, I'm here in Chicago, in one of the grandest arenas possible, and I'm speaking to people who are the most wealthy in the world. Right? You've got it. And then he says, all the things that you have amassed, all the things you've gathered together, your power, your influence, your wealth, your possessions, one day will mean nothing. It'll all be gone. And where will you be then? Where will you be then? Now, that's pretty harsh words for folks that have gathered a lot of good stuff. He says, unless our country comes back to God, our country is doomed. It's the same message he always had. There's only one place for hope, and that's God. There's only one who gives security, and that's God. Right? All the rest of this stuff will be meaningless. What does it profit if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? Right? What does it mean to be a disciple of Christ? How will that work? We want to try to take kind of a middle ground, you know, in that little conversation. How come we don't hear from this from the pulpit? Thanks. Right? I said, because if I took a conservative point of view or a liberal point of view or a moderate point of view, two of the groups would be mad because you didn't pick mine. Right? Graham used this example. He said, it's sort of like the Confederate, It's sort of like the soldier in the Civil War. He couldn't quite decide if he wanted to fight for the North or if he wanted to fight for the South. Couldn't make up his mind. And so he put on a blue coat and gray trousers. And then both sides shot at him. Right? We can't take a middle ground. You know, how about if I gain half the world? How about if I gain a quarter of the world? Jesus says, what about your soul? Where's that at? What are you doing to feed and nurture that? What does it mean to be a disciple? It means deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. Ouch. Deny myself? In a world that says, if you don't love yourself, you can't love anybody else. If you don't take care of yourself, you can't take care of anybody else. You got to start with number one. You can get to number two, but you got to start with number one, yourself. And Jesus says, if you want to be my disciple, deny yourself. Take up your cross. Really? I thought I was supposed to feel good. I was supposed to feel happy. I thought everyone's job in the world was to make me feel good. Because if I don't feel good, then there's something wrong. If I don't feel good, I might do something bad. So you make sure that you make me feel good. Take up a cross? Who wants that? Deny yourself. Take up your cross. Follow me. But Jesus, I kind of wanted to turn right when you were going straight. That other time, I kind of wanted to lean to the left and you were going straight. Lord, I see where you're going. I don't like it. Why can't I just follow my own way? I'll try to catch up to you later on. You just keep on going. I'll take a little circuit over here. I promise I'll come back. The Lord says, follow me. Yeah, but you're... follow me. All three of those strike at the heart of what it means to be a disciple, and all three of those are things that we want to reject. And so how can we be a disciple of our Lord? What if you take the long circuit and lose your own soul? What if you take a different path and never quite get back? What if the way the Lord leads is not the direction that we want to go? You know, Jesus said, he had this person come up and said, Lord, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, follow the commandments. And he said, I did. And Jesus says, you're right, you did. You did. There's only one thing. Go sell all that you have, give to the poor, and follow me. And he went away sorrowful. And one of my teachers said, if we'd have been Jesus, we'd have chased after him, said, no, I'm sorry, I didn't quite mean that. You know, come follow me anyway. You can keep what you got. We'd do anything we can in order to get him back. We will cave on whatever it takes to get him back, because numbers is everything. And Jesus said, no. If you need to go, go. But my way has life. When all the things of the world start to crumble, when our country comes apart at the seams, when it seems as though all the things we thought were so important finally don't mean so much after all, when we finally discover that there is only one thing needful, then we have life, abundant life, full life. Jesus has died and been raised for people that are confused, people like us, in order that we can follow him in a way we never thought possible, that gives us a joy we never imagined could be ours. But it is. In him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.